But I got this banana and I was really excited about it. I was going to nurse this banana as long as I could. Just take a bite or whatever. And the course was so technical at this point. And I don't know if it's because like I was been on my feet for so long that like they were cinder blocks, but like I kept on tripping, but I'd catch myself. So I'd trip and I'd catch myself and trip and catch myself. And then one time I tripped and I fell and the banana was in my left hand and I had to brace my fall and I smashed this banana on a rock. And it was like everything in the world had crumbled beneath me because like it was just a banana.
You lost your banana.
I really needed this banana. And I needed it to get me to the next aid station, and I had just squished it on this rock.
Hey everyone, welcome to another new episode of Runners Anonymous. I'm really excited for this week's show. We have a friend of mine named Andrew Gaspar joining us. We're going to talk about a few things over the course of this episode. First one being, of course, Andrew's experience with running and how he got started in the sport. We're also going to talk about Andrew's first experience with the ultra marathon at a race he did back in October. Lastly, we're going to talk about how his store that he manages is handling the COVID-19 crisis and how it's affecting their business and what they're having to do as a store and as a staff to address the ever-changing shopping needs during this time and ultimately keep their community running. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode, but before we jump in, I want to take a moment, let you guys know who is powering this podcast. So take a moment, listen, and we'll jump into the interview after this quick message. This episode of Runners Anonymous is brought to you by Brooks Running. In an effort to be fully transparent with you, yes, I do work for Brooks, and it would be wrong of me not to highlight the brand. We believe that a run can flat out change a day, a life, and the world. We are head-to-toe running company, meaning we make some amazing running shoes, running apparel, and now our new run bra line. You can check out our products at brooksrunning.com and even find where you can get our products from a local retailer near you. Enjoy this episode, and as always, run happy. All right, welcome to another episode of Runners Anonymous. For this week, we're interviewing Andrew Gaspard, who's the manager at Sport Spectrum in Shreveport, Louisiana. So welcome, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so glad to have you. I'm glad to have some more running, run specialty associates from around the territory. So glad you can be one of the first ones from the north part of the territory.
Yeah, pretty hop in town over here in Shreveport. A lot going on. This is my first ever podcast. I've never done a podcast.
It's been an interesting experience to learn how to do this and have an interview and it somewhat sound interesting. So we're learning at the same time. We're four episodes in now and it's gone. Learned a little bit each episode. So We're going to have some fun today.
Let's do it.
Before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I have a fun activity for us to do before we kind of dive into our main interview with you.
Sure. So I am originally from South Louisiana, not far from where Josh is located now, and started running when I was in high school. And many years in between that and now, I moved to Shreveport. My wife came up here for PA school, so that was another little fun and common thing that Josh and I share. Both of our wives are PAs, and so we moved to Shreveport in 2016, and just needed a job with food on the table, and found Sport Spectrum, started learning about shoes a little more in depth. I was still keeping that same passion for running, kind of parting those two things together. And here we are now, a couple years later, jumped up to manager, maybe some bigger things in store later, but loving every minute of it, man.
Yeah, super fun. I haven't talked about Beth too much on the podcast, I don't think even at all.
Both of our wives are PAs, so they're working really hard on the front lines dealing with patients with COVID-19, and then we're just making podcasts. So both super
Not
important
only does
stuff.
work age.
We gotta take care of them when they come home. So
Yeah, absolutely.
it's been really great. Knew Andrew here when he was here in New Orleans for school, and then when I first visited Sports Spectrum as a Brooks guru, I realized I knew Andrew when I walked in the door, and so it was a super cool connection. It's one of my favorite accounts to visit.
Do you know that Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at each other? There's like two Spider-Man, they're both pointing at each other, and it's a lot of times it's trying to like tell people that like they're the same thing. But I always felt like you and I had that Spider-Man meme, like glaring and pointing at each other kind of thing when we saw each other, because they're like, I know you, but I don't know where or where
Yeah,
from.
it was one of those moments where you're like, I know you, but why do I know you, and why are you
Exactly.
here? So it was super cool. All right, so to jump in, before we jump in the interview, I wanted to try to do a dynamic warm-up for us to kind of get us motivated, get us loosened up, just for our conversation in the future. So I've got a set of questions for you. I purposely didn't send you these ones, so you would be totally on the spot. So some of them are just real quick, short answer, and then some of them you might have to think about for a second. So, all right. So first question for our dynamic warm-up to help us get to know you a little bit better. All right. So morning runner or evening runner?
Morning.
Why mornings?
Like, you know how a lot of times things you tell customers about how they should run is the complete opposite of kind of what you do? I find myself in that category a lot. And so I can tell someone all day, like, yeah, you should like wake up and get you a snack, kind of get some food in you, hydrate well, and then do your warm up and then go run. I'm like straight out of bed, like, don't eat anything, just in my sleep, put on shoes and shorts and go. Like, I will have a better run in the morning 9 times out of 10 than like after work for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's food, if it's just been on my feet all day, if it's weather, but morning by far.
I wish I had that ability. These few runs I've done in the morning this week have just been okay, but I'm a more afternoon runner myself. How do you like your coffee?
Black, 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 black. I was
Perfect.
in college
Classic.
with two other roommates, and they drink their coffee black, and I was still using creamer and sugar. And like berate is like not an accurate enough term for how they made me feel for adding coffee and sugar or coffee and creamer to my coffee. And so I was like, all right, I can't let them make fun of me anymore. Let me try this black coffee, and I've drank it black ever since. So
Way to go.
peer pressure is good
Less
for something, I guess.
calories.
But black coffee.
Awesome. So, what is your favorite Brooks shoe?
My favorite Brooks shoe is the Brooks Launch, and here's why.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know you, yeah.
Yeah.
My and I told Josh the story before. The first time that I ever stepped foot in like a specialty running store is another one of Josh's accounts, Varsity Sports. And first time I ever got fit for a shoe, my best friend was working there at the time, and so he took me through the whole gait process and put all these different shoes on. And it was the first time that I like fell in love with the shoe I was wearing. I think it was Launch One, maybe Launch One or Two, probably Launch One. It was like fire truck red and like orange, and I felt like I was on fire. I feel like I looked like I was on fire when I was running it. And so for whatever reason, I love that shoe. I love the fit of it. It fits my foot like a glove. I like the weight. It's a cushion, responsiveness. I like all of it. I'm a big fan of the Launch. I feel
Yeah.
like I've had a
Do you,
Launch 1 through 7. I've had every one.
nice. Do you still have that first launch? Or did you get rid of it?
No. Who knows where that is now? So don't
Yeah.
have that.
Awesome. So do you prefer to run on the road or run on trails?
I've certainly got into a little more trail running. You'd be surprised to even hear that there's a trail entry report. but there is a few different ones. But I like the idea of trails. I've raced a little bit more on trails recently, and so I really like that. But I would say 8 out of 10 of my runs are on the road, and so it's just too convenient sometimes just to pop out and get going. But I don't have a favorite. Something about getting on the trails and just kind of zoning out to the woods. There's something cathartic about that. But you'll see me on the roads
Nice.
8 times out of 10 probably.
I'm the same way. I don't like to drive a lot of places to go run. That's so much more work
Yeah, it is. It's just I
to
tell
get out
myself it's
there.
just enough inconvenience to not even let you run. Like if you pop out of your door and can run like you can at your house, like that's so ideal. But like if you like our new house is not in a spot where I can just run on the road, and so I have to drive to the store. And if I like sleep 15 minutes over and it's gonna mess up the time, it's like it's all a wash, you know? So.
Yeah, I forget about that convenience I have where I live here in New Orleans, especially when I drive around territory, and just how convenient it is to get a run in from the house. There's some places I stay where you kind of got to get creative, or you just have to get on the treadmill at the hotel, and which is not my favorite
City
thing.
grids are the most convenient thing when it comes to you can just at our old house I could make 20 miles 20 different ways, and I feel like I run the same routes. Maybe that's the reason I'm going to trails now, because I'm so tired of running the same four routes from the store every day. But hey, you got to get in when you can.
Exactly. So have you seen Tiger King? Have you seen that show yet?
I have, yeah.
All right, so which character would you be on Tiger King?
Oh man, that's
Do
this is
you
gonna
have to
sound
think
kind
about
of
this one
lame,
for a
but I
sec?
kind of feel like I'm that like his campaign manager.
It's the Walmart manager.
Yeah, like for one, like how did he go from like the gun salesman at Walmart to a campaign manager is beyond me. But there's something about that guy who was like empathetic to like all situations. He was empathetic to Joe, but he wasn't gonna like indulge himself in whatever they had going on. So he was just kind of like third party, like I'm gonna do my job, but I'm not gonna get involved in all this. There's something I can kind of associate with that guy of. He wants to be involved, but he's not gonna put himself at too much risk, I guess. So,
For
Walmart
sure.
fund salesman campaign
What's his
manager.
name?
I
What's
have
his
no idea.
name? I have to
But
look it up.
usually, I'm like, if something gets super, super big, a lot of times I'm kind of like, not like you're like hipster, like okay, if it's too big, like I'm not gonna watch it. But sometimes I'm like that. But I kind of was all in on Tiger King, so. I went for it.
Yeah, it's. I wonder if Tiger King would have got as big as it did if we weren't under like a stay-at-home order.
Yeah, I don't think it
It
would
would
have. Yeah.
have.
Yeah.
So it's.
Well, I saw a meme. Your listeners are going to think that I only look at memes
Joshua.
all day. I do more than that.
Yeah.
But there was a meme of like this building like about to collapse over with these three like wooden beams holding it up. And one was Tiger King, one was a stimulus check, and one was memes. And those were like the three things that were like keeping America from crumbling down.
Oh,
So
geez.
I
Pretty
definitely think,
accurate. Pretty accurate,
yeah,
too.
I definitely think that there is something to the time and the culture that it presented itself.
Yeah, lots of Tiger King memes going around right now, for sure. And staying at home memes. They've had like different themes each week, I feel like, as well. Like, first, it was like just COVID-19 in general. And saw one like with The Office and Michael Scott, or Toby was the one who spread
Oh yeah.
COVID-19. And then
Yeah.
this week, I feel like the theme is how what it's like to be a dog is what people are learning, is what stay-at-home orders are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can see it.
All right, well, dynamic warm-ups is done, so hopefully
Feeling
we'll
good.
loosen up better,
Feeling warm.
ready to go. And we had some fun questions, so you kind of shared with us when you told us a little about who you were, about when you first started running. So did you run track and cross country when you were in high school?
I did the later years of my high school time. I had this. Well, he still is my best friend. Shout out to Chase Batty. But you know Chase, don't you?
Chase. Yeah, dude, yeah.
Yeah, so he was the guy who got me into running. We, all growing up, since we were 5 years old, we've been best friends. And he lived like a quarter mile from my house. And so one day he called me up and he was like, hey, I'm running past your house. Do you want to come on a run with me? And I had just eaten like 3 plates of spaghetti and meatballs. And this is Jeez. To tell you how like ignorant to like anything running I was. And I was like, sure, let's go for it. And it was like the worst run of my life. Cause I'm over here like doubling over, dry heaving out spaghetti, not knowing that you aren't like, it was like that Michael Scott, like, you know, like carb loading fettuccine before the, yeah. the fun run. Like that's how I felt. And so I was like, man, if this is what running is like, I don't want any part of it. Like I feel terrible right now. He was like, oh, maybe you shouldn't, you know, devour spaghetti beforehand, 2 minutes beforehand. So then he like, I kind of learned like, okay, well, maybe eat a little bit beforehand and go for a run. And even to this day, like it's the same lessons you learn over and over again. Like running is not fun until it is fun. You know, like if you let yourself get out of shape, you're always like, how did I ever enjoy this? But then once you kind of get into a rhythm and it's kind of that second nature, you're like, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. So yeah, I started when I was a junior in high school, did cross country, did track. And I was definitely a late bloomer when it comes to running. I feel like I'm a much stronger runner now than I was then.
Nice. What event when on the track, what were your events you did?
Really, it was mile and 2 mile. They threw me in the 800 as like a sacrifice a lot of times. I could not hold my own. I'm not a fast guy. I can do a somewhat fast pace for a long time, but like my 5K will not blow you away by any means. And so definitely like mile and 2 miles like that. So I was that guy that everyone was always mad at because like they were ready to go home, but they had to watch me run, what is that, 8 laps around the track or whatever at 9:30 at night.
The last event.
Yeah, I was like everyone's worst enemy.
Those distance runners, keeping everybody there late.
We're the worst.
I mean, there's going to be some fun events though, so.
Yeah.
What was, so we got you in high school, in college. What was the first like race you ran outside of cross country, outside of high school that you remember running?
Probably outside of cross country or track, like probably the Crescent City Classic.
Okay. That, like I think you're down here in Covington.
Yeah.
I'm always so thinking of you like times, Baton Rouge. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times we would, we go run that, a group of us, like a running group from Covington. So we go down the classic. I want to say that was the first like race outside of like running at a high school event that we did. And I love that race. It's such a fun race. It's such a, it's a fun race in terms of the scenery, especially if you're not used to New Orleans to see the course, but then also like, you want a PR and a 10K, like go run the classic. It's I think they at the expo they talk about how the, like the elevation change is like walking up like the curb on the road.
Yeah, that's pretty flat.
Yeah, so that was probably the first race I could think of.
Nice. Yeah, I really was really sad that the classic was canceled this year, and they did the virtual option, which I got out and did a 10K last weekend, 10K time trial last weekend, which was. Not as fun as running the race.
Yeah, it's harder and harder to get out there now that I live 5 hours away. You know, Easter weekend when it was an hour away, pop over the bridge and it was no big deal. But now it's like you got to carve out a whole weekend just to get down there to run for 35 minutes. It kind of seems you kind of have to weigh out whether it's worth it or not.
For sure. Yeah, it's the only race I've done every year since I first started running is the classic.
Nice.
It's kind of become the Easter tradition. So
yeah,
this year I was like, I just got to get out and run a hard 10K or it's not like Easter.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't be quite the same.
Yeah.
I always remember like the, cause a lot of the high school, the cross country teams, they always in the high school, the track teams, they always bring down like their teams and they're always like cruising past me. At some point in the race, and they don't even look like they're trying.
There's many classics that I can remember being very humbled, you know, come mile 4 or 5, thinking I got this in the bag and I'm doing all right. And then like on a particularly hot April New Orleans day or something, just kind of hits you all of a sudden, you get very humbled by the people that pass you. That's why I keep running. Yeah. Keep going, staying humble.
Yeah. I don't know what it is like about that race, but I feel like super good like, even through mile 4, but like it's always as soon as I get to City Park, I'm like, are starting to fall off. Yeah. You can see the finish line and you got to run like a mile away from it and then come back. And you're just like, and it always feels so much hotter for whatever reason, right around the park. Like you start downtown and then run down Esplanade and like, I don't know, whatever.
You have that shade on Esplanade. Feels so hot. All that, yeah. all those oak trees. Yeah. And then you're like, oh wait, the sun's still out.
Yeah. Super fun race.
Yeah.
Awesome. So CCC, a lot of people's favorite, one of the people's favorite races.
That's one of the only like under half marathon races I even consider these days. Like my running has kind of moved to more distant stuff. I always will love that race, but a lot of times you won't see me run a lot of 5Ks or 10Ks just because frankly my money's worth.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, not getting your money's worth out of a 5K, 10K.
Yeah, I've seen that on some people's shirts. And they say like, oh, I'm a 5-hour marathoner. You think I'm slow. I'm just trying to get my money's worth. So.
Very true statement.
Yeah.
The longer the experience, the more, I guess, maybe not the valuable, but I guess maybe the more cost effective.
Less money for your minute.
So you recently did an ultra marathon. When did you do that race?
That was in October of 2019. Yeah.
Not as recently as I thought. That's right. But that was your first ultra marathon.
Well, I think time is relative right now. I don't even know what day it is right now. So, you know, October felt like last week.
Yeah. And what race was that?
It was a 50K in Chattanooga called the Stump Jump 50K. One of the coolest races I ever ran. So I've been looking at doing it for a while now. I thought about doing an ultra for a while. And every year, either like my training partner would back out or it would sell out or we just had something planned during that time period. And I just never, for I want to say like 4 years in a row, just could not get to the registration. And this year, and you know, in 2019, I ran the Boston Marathon. And so in 2018, I trained for a marathon to qualify for Boston and ran that. And then 2019, I trained for and ran Boston. And I just kind of got burnt out on road racing, I guess, kind of got burnt out on just the intensity of a training for a road marathon brings of like,
sure.
You're going through it right now and you're training to wake up and feel like you have to get out there. And it's like Tuesday and you're dead tired, but you know, 6 in the morning, you got to run 15 miles. There's something I was so burnt out about, times and splits and paces and places. And so I finished Boston. I said, the next race I run, I'm going to go get lost in the woods for a couple hours. And that's essentially what I did for the stump jump. So,
That picture that you posted of you like holding on to like a tent post was amazing.
It very accurately communicates everything that was going on. I think there's a little bit in there of just the how much fun I was having. There was a lot in there about like my wife helping me and like helping me change shirts because I was so tired that I couldn't do it on my own. There's something in there about like my knee is like a bloody mess and like just the physical exertion that, I mean, the idea that like a picture communicates 1,000 words, like was very accurate for that picture.
We'll make that picture the episode.
Oh, yeah.
So what, why did you choose the ultra marathon? Like, or what was training like for that?
Training was not very good. I think that anytime if you are to get on the starting line of an ultra marathon, especially a trail ultra, the scene and the attitude is just so different from any road race I've run, to where you're not having these guys being laser focused, running sprints on side, you know, outside of the corral. Yeah. You have, like, I want to say that, like, I saw a dude, like, down a beer and then throw the can to his wife. Like, it's such a relaxed, go with the flow, like, we're just out here to have fun kind of flow going on. And so I was very attracted to that, the like, let's be out here and enjoy running and yeah, being creative and just kind of
inclusive nature.
Yeah. And so I think part of that attitude seeped into training in the sense that it's like, oh, well, I don't need to hold 6 minute miles. Like, it's okay if I'm not out here doing speed work. I just need to put miles on my feet. And then that kind of slipped into like, well, like, you know, you don't ever run the full distance of a race when you're training for a marathon. So I don't need to go 31 miles. So it's slowly, like, I convinced myself over time that, like, oh, I can push through that. It's a mental game, you know, running that kind of pace, which isn't slow necessarily, but, so the most miles I ran at one time for that training log was 11 miles. I remember, getting to mile 11 in the race and being like, all right, time to get out 20 and a half miles. Because I hadn't run that far since Boston. So I was in April. And so April to October, the most I had run was 11 miles. And part of that was just, I was so burnt out.
Incredible.
The most of that was, I was so burnt out on running that I was like, I just needed a break. But I think I let my break go too long. This is a few different things, but
hey, for whatever reason, you gotta stay motivated for stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I'm signing up for another one that got postponed because of COVID. And so now, although I have more time to train, I don't have to do what I did last time again. Now I have to train through the Louisiana summer because it's in November now. So I have to train through the Louisiana summer to get ready for that race. So there's trade-offs all around, but
yeah, which is not the easiest thing to do for those listeners who are not in Louisiana and maybe some more northern states. There's a reason people don't do Chicago around here.
Yeah.
It's really interesting for those people who are doing Boston, and Boston being in September, and oh my gosh, that's going to be a miserable training block for people. Yeah. What was the point you remember in that ultra marathon that you realized, like, I'm going to have a really long day?
God, there's so many. So I was out there for like 7 hours, which is a long time to be on your feet. But there was a couple of different times. There was one time that, like, I had barely gotten to an aid station. It was kind of one of those, like, down moments. I never really got to the point where I was like rock bottom, but, like, there was definitely, like, low points in the race. They're just like, your lowers are lower and your highers are higher when you're running that long. And so I had just gotten to an aid station. I really needed some substance. And so I got there and I got pickle juice, like straight pickle juice, which, like, I never messed with before, but really does, like, work wonders. Like, I was cramping all of a sudden, like, pickle juice and they're gone. But I got this banana and I was really excited about it. I was going to nurse this banana as long as I could, just take a bite or whatever. And the course was so technical at this point. And I don't know if it's because, like, I was been on my feet for so long that, like, they were cinder blocks, but, like, I kept on tripping, but I'd catch myself. So I'd trip and I'd catch myself and trip and catch myself. And then one time I tripped and I fell and the banana was in my left hand and I had to brace my fall and I smashed this banana on a rock. And it was like everything in the world had crumbled beneath me because, like, it was just a banana.
You lost,
like,
your banana.
I really needed this banana and I needed it to get me to the next aid station and I had just squished it on this rock. So that was one of them. There were times when, like, we were so corralled together in the very beginning that, like, for like 3 miles, like, I couldn't really open up to what I wanted to run because we were all like cattle being herded. From that point until, like, there were points at later in the race that literally, like, I would run hours without seeing another person. And that is, it's it's scary and it's also like really peaceful, because like there's like such a, I'm in this deep lush forest. I think I just saw this deer. There's a mountain over here, and there's a babbling brook over here. So that's really peaceful. And then I'm like, I haven't seen a single person in like an hour. I'm just praying, God, show me a pink arrow, God, show me a pink arrow that I'm still on this course. And then there'd be a pink arrow and I'd be like, oh, thank God. Cause like there's nothing more debilitating than like being out there in the middle of the forest and not being on the course anymore. So luckily I did not get lost, because that was a big fear of mine.
Perfect. Yeah, that's, I can't imagine what it would be like. That'd be my biggest fear doing a trail race, is that I would get lost. And
like, I had like printed out, I was such a noob. I printed out a map and laminated it and put it in my pack in case I needed it. But it was so useless, because like I had no clue where I was in this map. And it's not like I'm very directionally challenged. So it's not like there was like some comfort in me having it there. But like it was totally useless, because I could not have done anything with this map other than like look at it and be like, oh, the finish is somewhere.
I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where you're trying to be prepared, and you learned it wasn't very useful. So what advice would you give to the person who's looking at doing a trail ultra? What advice would you give them?
First and foremost, really, this sounds really cliche and corny, but like just have fun with it, because that was a big draw for me with doing this, is like, I didn't care. Like if it took me 4 hours or if it took me 8 hours, I didn't care. I didn't care if I was first place or like last place. I just wanted, it was almost like this like cleansing of my palate of sorts of like, all right, I've done so many road races recently. Some I like demolished, some like chewed me up and spit me back out. But there was like a cleansing of my palate that happened with, it's kind of like this reset. I don't make it bigger than it needs to be or more dramatic, but like it was a very like, you learn a lot about yourself during this race. And so I was like, man, if I can power through all these ups and downs in 7 hours on this, like I literally ran up a mountain and down a mountain, then I can do I can power through a lot of things. I can deal with that adversity. And so it was a very humbling experience, but just have fun with it. Don't have too much expectations for yourself. So that was beneficial. There's a certain like different community in the trail ultra scene. Now, I'm not trying to sound like this expert. Everyone run trail ultra, so I'm not an expert, but like the community there, like I feel like everyone was like wanting to help each other. And so like, you fall down, they stop and check on you. You see a runner hobbling on the sides, you ask if she needs anything. The aid stations of this race were incredible. People were encouraging and had everything I needed. So just kind of press into that, press into the community. And it's such a, like a trail ultra has everything that's good about running. The community aspect, the empowerment, all of that, like it's just blown to a different proportion at that kind of race.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Just have fun and soak it up and just go for it. It's such a fun experience. It really was.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, even though you say you're not an expert, you've been around the running scene for a while, especially managing a run specialty store.
Yeah.
You can talk to like especially what the road scene is like, especially because you guys put on so many races a year. You guys know so exactly what the communities are like.
Yeah, so you work enough on this side of the fence of a race production. You know, we put on 50 something races a year. When you do it enough, you kind of have a different perspective than just the participant of a race. And so as a participant in that race, but knew what went on to put that race together, you kind of give a little more shout outs than you normally would. And so like, those people, those aid stations were incredible, and I could not have done it without them. And so those people probably got out there at like 5 a.m. And so just giving them kudos and thanking them and showing some gratitude, because it's just different. Or like every time I pass a cop on a race now, like I make it a point to thank that cop for being out there and keeping me safe. Like just those small things that you're not really aware of are how much work is put into putting on a race. When you do enough of them on the back end, you're like, oh, there's a little bit more than just putting a mat out and shooting a gun and saying go. So
yeah, for sure. Very cool. So thanks for that perspective there. You guys being a run specialty partner with Brooks, you know, and dealing with, you know, this COVID-19 pandemic and stay at home orders and just a complete disruption to business. I did want to spend a little bit of time to highlight what you guys are doing to, you know, stay afloat as a business during this time. You know, because it's challenging for everybody. It's not just, you know, small business. It's large business. It's, it's everybody that is dealing with challenges right now. So, what's been the biggest challenge you guys have faced, and what have you guys done to try to help?
I think probably one of the biggest challenges, and one that kind of hurts my heart a little bit every time I field a phone call about it, is that. What's really special about the Run Specialty stores and the chain itself is that people really trust your expertise, and they put a lot of trust in your fitting their gait and giving them recommendations and having knowledge about the shoes. And so when people call and I answer, and they're really excited, I answer because I think I'm open, and they want to come in and get fit and want to know what we think they should be in, or what kind of shoes, neutral stability, all that stuff. When they are looking forward to that, and I have to tell them, hey, I can't let you in the store. That's a huge challenge, and that tells them that we're doing something right, because if they are expecting that type of service, then and they are upset that they can't have it, and they're like, what do I do now? That tells me that that we're doing some things right there. And so the challenge is, how do I, unless you know, hey, I want a Ghost and a 9.5 and navy gold, then how do you help serve that person and keep them running? Because running is up 88% now, exercise is up 88%. People are out there doing that. They need good shoes to do it. And so how do you help service them without being able to fit them? So that's a challenge, but
yeah.
A lot of people have been pretty understanding about it, and knowing that we're doing the best we can under the circumstances. We're definitely trying to be a part of the solution and listen to the proclamation of the governor and practice, you know, safe practices, while at the same time we want to help people as much as we can. So there's a thin line to walk there, and how do you help them walk that line?
Yeah. So what are some of the things you guys have done to try to help address that challenge of, like, fitting people and getting shoes to the customers?
Yeah. Well, luckily we have those phone calls happen, but luckily they are not the norm, because Shreveport-Bossier has such a strong running community, and we have such a great following, a loyal customer base with our store. A lot of times when I tell them we can't do that, they'll say, oh, well, can you just look up what I got last time? I really like that shoe. And so a lot of it is repeat customers who are like, okay, well, I maybe wanted to try some other stuff out, but if you tell me that I had a Ravenna 10 last time and it's time for a Ravenna 11, give me some options color-wise in that shoe, and I'll do it.
Okay.
And so it's been great for a lot of repeat customers and people who are real loyal to us. Who need new shoes and kind of know what they want. That's kind of the easiest. And then for people who really don't, we've asked to send in videos of them walking, maybe trying to do like a virtual gait assessment. So it's definitely challenging, but you kind of have to adapt and do the best you can under the circumstances, because there's no other choice but to do that, to adapt.
Yeah, you know, we were talking before we started recording today just how COVID-19 is really going to, I think, change the landscape of, you know, business, and kind of push businesses so far much so far in the future of what they were already, especially with moving to online. I know we talked about you guys working to get an online store set up. What's that experience been like?
Yeah, we we've been looking at doing something like that for a couple months now, just knowing that an absurd amount of people are shopping online now. And to have people to check out your retail space outside of their normal store hours is such a benefit. And so we looked at doing it, but just knowing the cost that would involve and the work was just challenging. So we kind of put it to the back burner. But one of the blessings in disguises, I guess, of COVID-19 was that it kind of forced our hand in a good way to kind of get that uploaded. And so we're working with a company called Fitted that a few different Louisiana retailers are using now. And so that's been really, really great because people can shop and look at color options and different shoes. There's a big difference between you looking at a cornflower and ebony glycerin 18 on the website and me trying to describe, well, this is like, it's like kind of charcoal, but there's a little bit of blue, but it's not navy blue.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's definitely a benefit there of looking at the shoe. And so the website's been great so far. And I think that it's something that's certainly helping us now, but I think will even benefit us going forward. A lot of our customers are telling us how grateful they are to have that as an option. So
nice.
It's a new challenge. There's definitely, you know, bugs to work out. There's learning curves, but I really do think it's going to be a huge bonus to our footprint.
Nice. How is the Shreveport community kind of responded to you guys? Have you seen a lot of great support from the local running community up there?
I think so. Yeah. I think that, you know, I'm trying to have realistic expectations of people and know that if you are out of work and your choice of you have a limited number of resources and your choice is food on the table or a pair of running shoes, I would never want to say, why are you not supporting a local business and buying shoes from me when you're trying to support your family? So I want to, my goal is to communicate how important and essential it is to support local business without beating people over the head with that. And so sure. I think there's a fine line there. You never want to guilt anyone into doing that. But a lot of times people are unaware of how beneficial shopping locally is. And so we've done things all throughout the years to try to communicate that. But I think they're responding as well as they can. I think that we've seen a lot of people suggest us when people, you know, like on Facebook statuses about shoes, we're getting not a lot of mentions there. And so we want to serve people the best we can. We're making adjustments as a small business, just like everyone else is. And making tough decisions and trying to take one day at a time. But there's a need out there for people who are exercising more now. And the benefit of having a good shoe is really one of the only requirements involved in running or walking. And so it's I know there's a need out there and we can meet that need. How do we communicate that, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. You guys always do a really great job. Everything, every time I've been in the store there helping out on days, you guys have a really great customer base. You always get people who come in that were recommended by others to come to Sports Spectrum to get fit for shoes. So I've always loved seeing that.
I've always told our employees, if we're going to do one thing, if we're going to hang our hat on one thing, let it be like customer service. So if someone wants to not shop with us for any reason, I don't want it to be they weren't treated like the only person in the world. You know, I want
sure.
customer service to be our number one calling card. And so that's another aspect of the COVID thing is like it makes you go above and beyond in some ways to serve customers because you have to describe shoes differently. You have to just do things differently than you would normally, and really kind of breaks some molds that you kind of settle into. I think it kind of makes you rethink a lot of the things you do. So there's been a tremendous amount of growth for us just learning wise and asking ourselves, why do we do things the way we do and can we do it better? I think it's kind of forced us to kind of rethink in some of those ways.
Yeah. So what are some ways, if people listening to this want to support you guys, what would be the best ways to get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, so my very small team is here usually about 10 to 5 on the weekdays. So if you call the store, we can kind of do our best to kind of figure something out for you via phone call. Emailing orders, that always helps out. And then the online new store is super beneficial. I know that some people it doesn't work for because either they need to be fit or they like try on shoes before they purchase them. But I think for the majority of people who kind of know what they need, it's such an easy little, let me pop over here and get something.
And I'll put all that information in the show notes as well. So we can put you guys' phone number and then the link to the website. So,
But yeah, I mean, we're open to anything. We're trying to adjust as much as possible. So,
sure. Well, Andrew, thanks for taking the time out of your day to be interviewed. I think people are gonna enjoy this one. So, yeah, thanks for being here.
Glad to have me. Thanks for being here.
All right, man. Well, we'll chat with you later. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Ladies, 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 let's talk about the bra you're wearing to run. A great bra can transform your workout, we all know that, but how do you find it? At brooksrunning.com, use the bra finder. You can shop styles for every body type and activity level. My personal favorite has been of the Dare collection called the Dare Crossback with its memory foam cups, free cut edges, and hidden bottom band. It is incredibly comfortable and supportive. Not to mention, there's the True Blue guarantee. So take it for a trial run. You get 90 days to test that thing out. Go to brooksrunning.com, use the bra finder, and keep running happy.
Man, what a great interview with Andrew. I was really thankful for him to take time out of his day, as they're still kind of working, getting their online store fully set up, to chat about his journey with running. It was really great hearing how he got into the sport. It was awesome hearing him talk about his experience at the Stump Jump 50K back in October for his first ultra marathon. I mean, the way he was describing it kind of makes me interested in trying that out at some point in my running journey. I don't think I'm quite ready yet, but who knows? I mean, the marathon is hard enough. I can't imagine running. Honestly, I'm not even sure how much longer than a marathon of 50K is. I think it's like 5K or something like that. I don't know. Let me know. Listen, during this COVID-19 crisis, the best thing we can do as runners is to support our local running stores who are keeping our communities running. You can do that a few ways. First, you can just purchase your shoes directly from them. Maybe you're not in need of new shoes right now. You could also purchase a gift card that you could use a little bit later. Anyway, I hope you guys can get out and enjoy some miles this week. Looking forward to bringing you guys another new episode next week. So stay tuned there. In the meantime, let me know what you think of the podcast. Do you like the content? Who's been your favorite interviewee so far? Leave a comment or review. I would greatly appreciate it and would be forever grateful. Enjoy the rest of your week, guys. Have a great day. See ya.